what I'm going to present you today is the story of something I wanted to prove since I started my PhD, and it's something really simple. It's really about relating a chemical signal of certain compounds that are found in grape skins to the amount of hours that a grape has been exposed to light. And there's a lot of process between that, and that's what I'm going to talk to you about that in the presentation. But that doesn't mean that it's only applicable to grapes. There's potential for that being applicable to any other fruit. So you can see here in this picture that there's a differential composition of the grapes just by looking at them, and you can see how sun overexposure can impair ripening in the grapes in the center of this picture, or when they are already ripe, sometimes they can make this in Cabernet, which is the degradation of anthocyanins by overexposure, and you can see how it's this phenomenon is given according to the exposure. You know, in the berries that are in the best angle for the sun incidence, they are suffering this degradation. And there's a great need to know about how much exposure a grape has going through. This is a crop that can go into very high value, and winemakers can be extremely focused on getting the best quality of their grapes, and they are willing to invest a great amount of labor to do leaf removals or manipulate the canopy in whatever way they might want to achieve. And then the last panel is what we have, some variability that we have captured of ourselves. You can have variability, a great amount of variability in terms of canopy development in a vineyard, and that is reflected to the exposure that those grapes have. So there's an interest to know how much exposure a grape has had. So this is started all with some control conditions and experiments in which grapes were exposed to a certain number of hours of UVB. This was to study the physiological effects of UVB, both in leaves and fruits and everything. And something that we very quickly noticed is that these compounds, the flavonoids, were very much enhanced by UVB radiation. And these compounds, actually their main role in leaves and other tissues is actually protect plant tissues from the harmful effects of UVB, which can cause many effects starting from DNA dimers. So what we have here is, in this panel, is a correlation between the amount of hours that these clusters were exposed and actually the proportion of this compound chemphorol within the flavonoid profile. And if you see here, this is the compound that is less hydroxylated of the whole profile. And that intrigued me very quickly because actually the grapes that were not exposed to UVB, which were inside of a greenhouse that filters out all the UVB by the glasses, did not have any of this compound. So that was something really striking from the beginning that made me want to go more into that. So we figured out that that was the differential expression of the enzymes that actually move the compounds of this pathway towards your right or downwards, which is the flavonoid synthase that is the one that synthesizes the flavonoids. So when you have this competition between these enzymes for the same substrates, the more FLS you have, the more flavonoid synthase expression you have, the more chances you have that you have flavonoid in your profiles. So that makes it a very simple way to create this chemical signal that is very linear and behaves very well according to the amount of hours that a grape has been exposed to the solar radiation. This was published in Frontiers earlier this year. And the data set that I use for this experiment, it includes many vineyards. This might be more important for vineyard people, but I will guide you through the slides. So in that paper, another thing that we put in case you face this problem is like flavonoids tend to overlap because they come at very similar retention times, and we play with the HPLC methods to separate them without the need of using SP columns or any other process that takes a lot of time and consumes resources. So basically playing with the HPLC method, they can be coalitions can be avoided. So for one of these data sets, what we did is with two trellis in three different cluster positions, we took pictures, hemispherical pictures from the cluster perspective. We simulated the trajectory of the sun, and then we corrected that potential radiation with the radiation that we were actually getting from the station, from the meteorological station. And at the end, what you have in the last panel of the slides is the actual radiation that, according to an hemispherical picture, you can model that that grape received. We, of course, use as well data loggers, but we soon realized that they have many inconvenience and recorded very temperatures. So this is the correlation in the first panel. You can see the correlation between this signal, the percentage of chemferol, and the accumulated radiation modeled by this spherical pictures. And you can see that at a certain point, we did segmentary correlation. So there's a breaking point, and this comes up when the berries actually had too much radiation. And you can see here how anthocyanins, visually, you can see how anthocyanins get degraded when they are overexposed, but this actually happens as well to flavonols. And the funny thing about this is that although these compounds get degraded at a certain point, too much exposure, this signal is still is reliable. We did that. You can see how this signal can help you to correlate it to other factors, for instance, the synthesis of flavonols. And you can see that when you use the model radiation, there's certain correlation, but this correlation is much tighter when you use the chemical signal. And then the last panel below is we took grapes from different exposure levels, either clusters that were inside or the canopy, or clusters that were outside, and showed clear signs of degradation like this. And you can see the same pattern. The flavonols go up, but then in overexposed grapes, they go down again. But still, the signal is very reliable and increases proportionally to the amount of radiation. So this signal, it was very helpful to study other phenomena. For you have here a similar behavior with the degradation of flavonols over increasing exposure, and you can see, we can follow exactly the trend of this. So a berry that is similar to the one in the arrow would have about the half of anthocyanins that a berry would have. Sorry, these are actually anthocyanins. These are not flavonols. This axis is mistaken. But in this case, these are flavonols. So the flavonols are true compounds that respond to light, and we can see how a compound that responds to light should look like. So these are individual grapes, so each of them is a HPLC injection, and we can see how they increase at the beginning, but as soon as we reach this critical value, they start to degrade. So this parameter helps us to find out what would be the ideal exposure for each of the compounds that we may want to measure. But of course, I'm talking all the time about exposure and solar radiation, but actually solar radiation, it's a complex environmental factor. And the most immediate implication of this is that there is the infrared radiation, although it's not the only wavelength that carries energy that it's increasing berry temperature. Infrared radiation, when it incides into berries, it will increase berry temperature. And we can see here, you can see how in California, in very sunny places where air temperatures can reach up to 44 degrees C, which it's pretty hot. When this is combined with exposure, it can reach to 55, which is enough to make most of fruits probably even abort. So we have here the anthocyanins, and here as well is how well it correlates to the max temperature. So actually, when we are seeing a degradation in all those compounds that I showed you before, it's more an effect of elevated temperatures, of extreme temperatures, rather than these compounds being photodegraded by the incidence of UV or whatever else, okay? So bear that in mind. Finally, the last example that I want to present you that we use this signal for is to map vineyards. Here we have the signal of the flebonals. And you can see how there's some parts of the vineyard that are related to a low exposure of the fruit. And these are actually very well correlated to portions of the vineyard that have high vigor. High vigor means that there is a lot of canopy above these fruits. You have to remember that the way grapes are grown is that most of the canopy is high in the center, and the fruit zone is below all that canopy. So there is a good correlation between how much vigor you have and the reduction of light penetration into the fruit zone. So we see here how they correlate, and even more visually, we have here in the map how some valleys within this vineyard accumulated more water. This induced to a higher vigor, and this was related to a lower exposure of the fruit. In turn, in that table, you can see how we applied certain treatments. We applied leaf removal, fruit thinning, or combined the both factors, and this increased on a predictable way the amount of exposure that the fruits received. So this is something that can help you to validate and discuss a lot of results related to the exposure of fruit, like grapes. So actually something that we're working on now, it's related to find what are the best moments or best systems in which canopy practices might be worth it. Leaf removals and shoot thinnings are something very well extended in viticulture. But of course, it doesn't make sense if you're going for an extremely low vigor system in which berries are well exposed. Of course, I'm going to for the an exaggeration. You are not going to do it in addition to that leaf removal. So, but there is a certain gray area in which you would not have so clear whether it's worth it or not to make any canopy practice. So this way, with parameters like this, you could actually do a very quantifiable. You could quantify very well the exposure that you are applying and the exposure that you are needing for whichever target you have, either if it's the removal of green aromas or anything related to anthocyanins or the related to pest control, because leaf removal and all these treatments are very much as well focused to the reduction of fungal pest incidents. So I want to thank you very much for your attention, and of course the Cultural Lab that has been very active in these experiments, some of these experiments that I've been showing to you, and the institutions, of course, that have been holding me for the last years that I started with this idea. So thank you very much. Now, if you have a couple questions. Yeah, thank you.
Have you looked at, with your, say, highest leaf removal, were you getting a significant reduction in sugars as a negative against a higher color?
So when you go for, when you're talking about leaf removal having an effect on sugars and a negative effect of sugars, I'm guessing that you're thinking that less amount of leaves is less photoassimilates, and that's going to reduce sugars. Is that a way of thinking, I guess? So in California, the way grapes are grown, it's actually the photosynthesis is not going to be a limitation for ripening. We often get saturated responses in the sense of like more additional leaves might not promote ripening. So actually, when you remove the leaves around the fruit zone, you are not reducing the photosynthetic capacity of the plant too much. And additionally, what you're doing is making probably grapes smaller because they are, when they're exposed, they have a higher BPD around the grapes, and they grow usually smaller, so that takes less effort for the plant to ripen. So you're in a situation in which by removing leaves, you can have both effects. Sometimes we see increases in sugar. Sometimes we see decreases in case you are in a situation where photosynthesis is limited, but that happens very seldomly. It's usually that actually sugars increase when you have berries exposed. There's other factors involved, but there's many things that are paradoxical for plant physiologists in grapevine, and that's one of them. Probably the response to drought, I would say, is another one, that they have less photosynthesis, but they ripe much faster, the grapes, with under drought. Thank you very much.